Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with the Reading Post for Friday, November the 21st. My name is Dan Wimbush, I'm the editor of thetarlhurstend.com, an independent Reading fan site and blog. And I'm delighted to be joined once again by Get Reading's Reading reporter, Charles Watts. Charles, hello, how are you?
I'm good, Dan, how are you?
Yeah, I'm not so bad, thanks. Feels like a long, long time since we talked, and the fact that Reading are suddenly back in Championship action tonight, you get lulled into that full sense of security, don't you, in the international window?
You do, but I think we're all delighted that league football's back, and back on a Friday night as well, which is a strange one for a lot of people, but it should be a decent night down in Cardiff, and I'm looking forward to setting off there in a couple of hours.
Absolutely. Well, before we get on to the talk ahead of tonight's game and all of the latest injury news, best just briefly talk, because we haven't spoken since that Charlton game where Reading lost 1-0 a couple of Saturdays ago. Probably the worst way Nigel Atkins could have hoped to go into an international window with such a limp performance.
Yeah, and it's not the first time this season. I suppose before the last international break, it was Brentford, wasn't it, which wasn't ideal. I think in a way, Brentford was probably worse than Charlton in a way. I mean, the Charlton game is massively frustrating, and it was a game that Reading shouldn't have lost. For me, they conceded, you know, their usual sloppy goal, allowed a cross come in far too early, defend centre-backs to just let the guy sort of ghost in between them and win the header. But even then, Reading had enough of the ball and enough of possession to get themselves back in the game, but he just never really looked like doing it, did they? It was always sort of sideways. There was no real sort of incisive play, which we'd seen, you know, against Rotherham and against Blackpool, you know, two worse sides and not as well organised sides as Charlton. But it was just frustrating watching it, kind of knowing that Reading weren't going to score and they just didn't quite have that little spark about them to find a way through. Well, it was a very resolute Charlton defence and a good Charlton defence, marshalled superbly well by a player we know an awful lot about, and Andre Baiki and Tel Ben-Haim.
Yeah, absolutely. It was just meat and drink for them.
It was.
Just didn't have any sort of plan B whatsoever. And the fans were understandably, after the game on social media, I'm sure you got a lot of tweets as well. They were unhappy, and there was a lot of, especially in the immediate 24 hours afterwards, there was a lot of grumblings and, is it time for a change? And we ran a poll up on the tarlhurstend.com, and it was very close. I think it ended up about 54% wanted Nigel Atkins to stay, but 46% wanted him to go. And that leads into the next thing that I was going to talk about. There was discussions. Well, it started really on Facebook, because Samrit Buntikisada is not shy, is he, on social media?
He's not shy. I wish he'd come out and actually say what he does, though.
Yeah.
Rather than kind of just come out with all these random statements. I think the whole Samrit thing, I mean, it's a bizarre one, and it just kind of leaves a big question mark hanging over the whole thing, and I think it does need to be cleared up really one way or the other. I think I mean he was the main man, we know that, for a long, long time as this takeover was going through, and then all of a sudden, right at the end, the names came out and Samrit was nowhere to be seen, and he definitely had his Football League interview, and yet suddenly he's nowhere to be seen. And Reading and Sir John, obviously I saw the quotes, it was while I was off actually, so I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but Sir John said that Samrit wasn't involved, he didn't have any shares at all. If that's the case, then what's he still around for, you know? And he's doing a lot of talking, he comes over an awful lot when he's not here, his men are here, and you know, Reading need to clear it up, and they always fob it off whenever the question is asked, they always fob it off. And for me, Reading really need to clear it up, because you've got this man who the fans really like, or certainly seems like, he's a bit of a social media genius really, he plays it very, very well. and I just think, just for Reading's sake, they need to clear up exactly what he does here. I mean, I was at Hogwood. He was at Hogwood this week. He's been there a couple of days. He's going to the game tonight. I imagine he'll be in the director's box like he was at Wigan in his Reading suit. And yet, you know, Reading continued to maintain he has nothing to do with the club. And it's clearly not the case. If he failed the fit and proper owner's test, then tell us. Don't just leave this big mystery hanging over that continues to come back and kind of bite him, because we all know Samrit, he's not quiet. And he continues to talk, and you know, he's come over here this week, and he hasn't stopped talking again on Facebook. He's told off an awful lot of stuff in that big post he did on Monday night or Sunday night, whichever day.
Well, this is it, and this is where the stories come from. If you haven't checked out the background, you'd head to Get Reading or to the Tile Hurst End. There's stories on both about it. But basically, he's told fans on social media and in a couple of interviews back in Thailand that he's coming over to the UK, or has already been over, for a board meeting. And one of the topics he was going to discuss was the future of Nigel Adkins. Now, as you said, I mean, how much weight do you lend this? Because it's a guy who has no official position on the board. All the club have said he's a big friend of Reading Football Club.
big friend.
So, how much do we play into this? I mean, you've spoken to Nigel Adkins since, and he's downplayed any sort of impact of this meeting.
Yeah, he said it was pre-planned. It's been planned for ages since the takeover was done. And last time, I remember when the takeover was done and we did speak to John about it, he said that they were coming back in November. Well, Sasima was coming back in November, which kind of dates obviously match up with that. Again, Reading, I was asking the question. Reading said Sabriett wasn't in this board meeting. And I asked the question and was told categorically he wasn't. The three shareholders were in the meeting. The board members were in the meeting. You know, Nigel Adkins was in the meeting, but they said Sabriett wasn't. But obviously he's come over at the same time with this board meeting, and it all just sort of adds to the confusion, really. And I really think Reading need to come out here and just clear this up. Say what Sabriett does, and if he failed the fit and proper test, then he failed the fit and proper test. That's why he's not at the moment involved. Are they trying to get him sort of work a way of getting him through that fit and proper test? Do the league want to do more checks on him? You know, will Reading suddenly announce in 3 months' time that he is actually on board, and this, I can't even pronounce his name, but the guy's got 50%. I mean, it's, for me, it just seems so clear. There was four share 25% each they were going to take over. Sasima even said it when I interviewed her in the boardroom a few weeks before the takeover was confirmed. Then suddenly it was confirmed, and one person had 50% and the other two had 25%. So somewhere 25% disappeared and someone disappeared. And it just seems like it was clearly Sabriett. And so has his 25% gone to this other guy? And, you know, Reading are trying to work a way around of maybe they have to prove more to the Football League before they actually allow Sabriett in, and then suddenly Sabriett will come in and take his 25% back. No, I don't know. It's all conjecture. And that's why Reading need to clear it up, really, because the longer it goes on, Sabriett's not going to go away. I think it's pretty clear he's not going to go away, is he? He likes talking to fans, which is, you know, which is good. We all want that. But
absolutely,
it's not helping Reading, and it's adding to the confusion. And I really think they need to come out and clear it up.
We could do with it. All sorts of clearing up, to be honest, with the ownership situation. Who's making the decisions? Who's the football person behind it? All sorts of questions. But I suppose
exactly. I was a little bit disappointed actually that these guys came over and no one spoke. Now we've only spoke to Sasima when this was just before it was confirmed. We were given a chance to talk to Sasima, but since then, you know, it's just been nothing. And I think it's really time that these guys, when they are here, they should sit down and show their face. The fans want to know who owns the club. They want to at least see who owns the club. I mean, a couple of these guys we haven't even seen before. Don't even know what they look like. So I think I was a little bit disappointed that it seems like they've sort of come into the country and then quickly had the meeting and gone out again. I think Reading need to show their faces, really. We want to see who owns this club.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's saying they have to come out and be big media personalities like a Sabriett, but you just need to know that, okay, this is the guy, they've got massive other business interests and they're happy leaving the club in the hands of X, Y, or Z. You know, just things like that really help you out and give you a bit of an easy feeling, especially when the club has had so much turmoil in the 18 months beforehand, knowing exactly who had the money, where it was coming from, and all sorts of stuff. But unfortunately, we've lost that power, and there's no way for us to find that out unless they come out and tell us.
That's the thing which really sort of sticks in the fans' throat at the moment. It certainly seems to be on social media when I get, you know, when I talk to people, is that given what's gone on with Anton and, you know, the disaster that turned into, and kind of how many question marks that left against the running of the club and who runs the club. You know, these guys came in, everyone's happy they've come in, but just show us who they are. Let us talk to them maybe just once, then, and that's it. But to just, you know, to let them take over and then just disappear into the ether, and, you know, all we know about them is their names and their own fish industry company or something. It's not enough, really. We should be able to know who owns a football club, and certainly know what they look like. It's a little bit disappointing, like I said, that they came in and came out. I mean, not onto Nigel Adkins. You know, he was adamant in his press conference this week when I spoke to him that it was just pre-planned meeting. You know, he was put under no pressure. It was nothing to do. You know, they didn't come over and slap some demands down on him, say that win the next two games or you're out on your ear. he was insistent it was just a pre-planned meeting. They talked about a lot of stuff, and that him and the owners get on very well and they're very supportive. So I guess we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks or so, because a couple more defeats, you know, tonight and then a defeat at Norwich next week, and two wins from 13, then that's no matter how supportive your owner is, I think they're going to start getting itchy feet a little
bit.
Yeah,
I mean, just look at Dave Whelan, at Wigan, who's hired and sacked Uwe Rosler quicker than Nigel Atkins has been in his job. And I think it's only now, I think there's only one club, perhaps, I can't remember if it was one or two clubs below Reading in the table that haven't binned off their manager. Like, I think, it is two. One's Ian Holloway at Millwall, who you'd assume is fairly bulletproof as long as they don't go down. And the other is Sammy Hupia, who only got the job in the summer. Yeah. So, you know, the Championship is a volatile place for managers at the moment. And he's not safe. He's not 100% safe. I don't think he's in imminent danger. But as I said, if a previously who you'd consider a patient chairman like Dave Whelan is prepared to pull the trigger on a manager who took them to the playoffs and an FA Cup semi-final, not, what, 4 months ago, 5 months ago?
Yeah.
You know, anything can happen.
I certainly don't think he's safe. I don't think any manager's ever safe, no matter how supportive your owner is. You could get on very well with your owner, which you talk about Dave Whelan there. I think Dave Whelan is an owner who gets on well with his managers. Yeah, he does make a decision. He did it with Owen Coyle. He did it, obviously, this season, like I say, with Uwe Rosler. And no manager is ever safe. Atkins says it himself, it's a results business. If you're not getting results, you're going to be under serious pressure. And we've seen that in the Championship this year. It's actually quite bizarre that the Premier League's quite serene at the moment, yeah, in terms of managers. They say everyone seems to be quite safe in their jobs at the moment, although we are heading to December, which is the month where the axe seems to fall the most. So, no, he's definitely not safe. No manager is, and especially when you're on a run of two wins from 11, you got to think that there's got to come a point where the axe will fall if results don't improve. So he needs results to improve. He needs it to happen quickly.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully one of the things they did discuss at this board meeting was transfers and the transfer window. Now, I know Nigel's been talking throughout this loan window, which closes in a week's time, is it?
27th,
yeah. So he's only got six days left if he wants to make any loan signings. But even if not, hopefully they're looking forward to January. But one thing that might be taken out of their hands in January is rumoured interest in the man that's basically carried the forward line this season, Glenn Murray. Rumours of a £3.5 million interest from Derby County.
Crazy money for me. If Derby seriously are offering that, then, you know, Reading can't get into any sort of bidding war where they won't, because they're not going to spend that sort of money. But I can't imagine Derby would spend that sort of money on Glenn Murray at 31 years old, unless they're thinking that small change. If he gets us into the Premier League, then that's small change. So it might be a risk worth taking. But, you know, Reading won't get involved in anything like that. When I spoke to Nick Hammond when the deal happened, you know, he said there was a deal in place that Reading could sign him for a set fee if they want him. So what that means, if Derby come in and gazump that fee, I don't know if there's something, you know, if they've written something in a contract that wouldn't matter. So Reading have first refusal if they meet this fee, so whatever Derby are offering might not matter. But
yeah, well, I think the other point to consider, obviously, is Glenn Murray's own desire of where he wants to play. You know, does he want to stay at Reading, where he's feeding off scraps, playing for a team in the bottom half of the table, or does he think, oh, Derby are in for me, I might be back in the Premier League next season and playing for a team that's creating chances and scoring goals for fun?
Yeah, I can't see if Derby are in for him and they are willing to pay that sort of money, I think, you know, I can't imagine he will stay at Reading. I think everyone will go to Derby, just because, for me, they're nailed on certs for promotion this year and they're going to be playing in the Premier League next year. So I can't imagine Glenn Murray will decide to stay if their interest is there and it is genuine. But I, for that sort of money, Reading shouldn't be getting Glenn Murray. If that is seriously the sort of wedge that we're talking about, then there's strike out there, younger strikers out there, more hungry strikers, more mobile strikers out there that Reading could go and get for even, you know, half the price nearly. So I don't, as impressed as I have been with Murray as he's come, I think he's done very well. 5 goals in 11 games, I think it's almost 1 in 2. You can't ask for much more than that. But there are strikers that can hit that sort of tally as well, and they'll come cheaper and they will have a lot more of their career ahead of them.
Absolutely. Yes. I've been a fan of Glenn's. You know, someone said before, you guys sound a bit down on Murray on the main edition of the podcast. And I've said, I'm not down on him at all. But unfortunately, he's playing in a team that's not exactly giving him much to work with. So at the moment, you know, is he providing that much more than Pavel Pogrebniak would be? Or, as you say, another younger, more mobile, cheaper striker, especially for a £3.5 million fee. But, I mean, we'll see what happens. I hope he sticks around. I hope Reading wrap up a deal, and it's revealed that it's for a very reasonable price. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see on that. Same with the loan window. But let's focus on what we do have in the squad at the moment. And that is a team that is said probably already in Cardiff, if not heading down shortly. Big game tonight. First, I said, after the international window, Reading are on a miserable run away from home. They've not won, I don't think, since that Middlesbrough game.
Middlesbrough, no.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them win away from home this season because I missed that Middlesbrough game.
There you go. Maybe you should not travel tonight. But they head to a Cardiff side who themselves aren't in brilliant form. Obviously, they sacked Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and placed in Russell Slade, who's had a decent enough time at home, but not pulling up any trees as of yet. Adam Lafondra nailed on to score tonight.
I would say so, yes. I'm pretty sure we're all expecting Alfie to score. I was talking to Nigel about him yesterday, called him a prime goal scorer, a fox in the box. And he again reiterated that he didn't want to get rid of him, but his hands were tied. So, yeah, I think we're all expecting Alfie to score. I was talking to the Cardiff reporter actually yesterday. He's been very impressed with him. Said he's been playing really well. He just, goals haven't been going in. I think it's only 1 in 15 he's got this season, which for Alfie is a very poor return. But he seems to be playing well, and I think they're quite happy with him. And him and Makeda seem to have struck up a little bit of a partnership. So I think he'll start. Kenwyn Jones is going to be on the bench, I understand. So it'll be Alfie and Makeda. And yeah, they know all about him. They've defended against him time after time in training. So they're going to have to use all of that knowledge, all of that skill to keep him quiet, because we all know that if he just does get a chance, he tends to take it. And we've seen it so many times over the last couple of seasons when former players
come up against Reading. And Sean Morrison as well probably got on the score sheet.
Yeah, he'll come up for a header and bang one in when he run off doing his serial celebration, I'm sure. It'll be interesting to see what reception Morrow gets tonight, actually. I'm sure Alfie will get a decent reception, but I'm not quite sure Morrow's going to get the same reception from those travelling fans. So I think it'll be quite interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting the Cardiff reporter's high on Alfie. We did our regular fan preview view from the town end with the Cardiff fan, Simon Richards, and he compared Reading selling Lafondra and Morrison to Cardiff for 7.5 million to one of those dodgy builders that suddenly finds something wrong and, oh, that's going to cost you a little bit extra. That's going to cost you a little bit extra. So I don't think the fans' opinion is certainly a bit divided. But let's focus on the Reading side of things. A lot of injury doubts in and around the window. This wouldn't be a podcast extra without us talking about injuries. What is the latest with some of these players that have been on the fringes and been doubts? Who is and isn't going to be able to play tonight?
Well, Sean Cummins and Gareth McCleary in the squad, so they're back. Obviously, McCleary for the first time this season, Cummins for the first time since Scunthorpe, wasn't it? He got that nasty tackle. So they're back, which is great. You know, great news. I can't wait to see GMAT back playing. I'm not sure he'll start. I imagine Adkins will probably resist that urge and bring him on half an hour ago and start with Jamie Mackey, but he's back. Cummins is back. Hope Hatpan obviously has been hit by a horrible, horrible blow during the international break, dislocating his shoulder. It seemed like reports from Nigeria suggested he could have been out for a couple of weeks, but I'm not quite sure the doctors are bang on the ball with that one, because he's come back here and he's out for 3 months and needs surgery, which he's having on Monday. He's out. Jem, we continue to wait. Still doesn't seem to be any closer, which is frustrating. His knee swelled up again a couple of weeks ago. The surgeon is very happy with the knee, says it's really, really strong. And Nigel Adkins is happy with it and just says we have to take time. And I suppose for people like us, we're not medical people, don't really know how it works. You think, how is the knee strong if he still can't come back? It just doesn't seem to have...
14 months now as well.
I know, it's really long. And the longer it goes on, the more worried you are for Jem. He's out of contract at the end of the season as well, so he's probably pretty worried as well in terms of his future at the moment. So I just hope he gets back. And Nigel was adamant he will, and it's just a case of being patient and taking time. And so hopefully we'll see him back sooner rather than later. But each time you speak to him, and he seems to set a target, and then that target goes, and I feel so sorry for Jem. He's such a good bloke, and all he wants to do is play football, and to be out for this length of time is just a crippling blow for him.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, he's a player that is perceived as, you know, hopefully the future engine room of this football club, and, you know, club captain. And he was in such good form as well just before he picked up that injury. It was finally a time, you know, you thought, he's breaking through. He's a player that, you know, is finally going to nail down that place. But, it's heartbreaking for him. The only positive I've got is that Reading this season with injuries have been all over the place with their diagnosis and expected times back. I remember hearing Sean Cummings was supposed to be out until the new year.
Yeah.
And suddenly he's popped back, and Gareth McCleary was supposed to be out, and all of a sudden he's back. And same with, you know, Danny Williams. But on the other hand, then you've got the Jem Karachans and Danny Guthries, who are supposed to be back all the time and then aren't. So,
Danny Guthries is a strange one. Again, no one can seem to put the finger on exactly what's going on with that one. And Nigel never actually rules him out for a game. It's always like, well, we've got to see how he's feeling on the Friday. He might be fit, he might not be. And so it's quite a strange one with that. I'm expecting the team tonight to be pretty similar to what we saw against Charlton before the international break. I think Gunter will again be at left back. I think Kelly will be at right back. We'll have Pearce and Hector because Anton Ferdinand's not fit. He, at the moment, is scheduled to start full training on Monday, so should be around for next weekend, but he's going to miss out tonight. You think a central midfield of Ollie Norwood and Danny, and then Cox, Mackey, Murray. Who am I missing out there? Oh, Obita obviously on the left. Yeah, I'm not sure there'll be too much different. I mean, when he does go away, he did it against Brentford, he did it against Blackburn, he did sort of bring Simon Cox out of the side, didn't he? And add an extra midfielder in there, so he might.
I wonder whether he'll be tempted to throw Harry Robson Kanu in as well.
He might decide
after
to do that
international
again.
Window.
Yeah, he might persist with his Harry Robson Kanu experiment and desperately try to get him to actually do something in a Reading shirt. So he might do that. He's done it before. He did it at Blackburn, didn't he? Did it at Brentford. He might decide to go with Jake Taylor and put another man in central midfield to try and win that battle. We'll have to wait and see, but I don't think there'll be too many changes from the Charlton game.
Okay, then prediction-wise, for our Tullhurst End Podcast Prediction League, on the main edition of the podcast, which was way back when, nearly a couple of weeks ago now, I predicted a 2-2, and Johnny and Westy both said 3-1 Cardiff. So what are you going for?
I've gone for 3-1 Cardiff as well.
Gone for 3-1 Cardiff as well?
I have. In the paper, I've gone 3-1 Cardiff, yeah.
I could be losing some serious ground if it's a 3-1 Cardiff win. the standings, Johnny's just in the lead. He's got a 1-point lead over me. Then I'm 1 point ahead of yourself. And then
No, I've slipped down to third.
Yeah, he slipped down. Well, it's because I correctly predicted a 1-0 Charlton win.
You got Charlton, I knew you. I remember you got that.
So that has boosted me back at the table. But early days, and given the haphazard nature of this prediction league this season, a lot will change. Finally then, just before we let you go, some sad news this week. Speaking on a purely personal level, aside of any interest in this podcast, with the news that the Reading Evening Post and Get Reading will be ceasing physical publication from around, you know, within the next month. Obviously, I know as an employee, you're probably not able to talk about it too much, but as I said, just from a personal point of view and someone that's read the paper for many years, it's sad that it's going. And I said, I know obviously there will be changes and whatnot in your office, but just some general thoughts from yourself, if you're able to give any.
Yeah, no, it's obviously a bit of a hammer blow to everyone who works at the Post. We feel we produce a good product, and unfortunately we're not going to be able to do that anymore. It shuts on, I think, December the 18th is the last paper, which I believe is to get read in on the Friday. And then they're going digital only, so there is still going to be a Get Reading, but I think that launch is due to launch is sort of mid to end January, and so the current Get Reading website will continue to sort of fill the void between the paper closing and the new website launching. I mean, it is, you know, it's really disappointing. I think everyone, it's been a very sort of miserable place for the last week. The office is, people are having their consultations, meetings. I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of people are going to lose their jobs. And so it's right around Christmas as well. So it's not ideal timing. Well, I suppose it never is ideal timing to lose your job. What it means for me, I don't know yet. It's still too early. We only started our one-on-one consultations yesterday. There is obviously still a role going. They want Reading FC to drive the new website. So there is a role going, and the discussions taking place, but in terms of what it means to me at the moment, I can't really say, because I just don't know yet. And I think as the discussions will continue over the next couple of weeks, and things should become clearer as we sort of enter December. But yeah, really disappointing. And I think, you know, just not just for me, but for everyone who works there, we work very hard, work beyond the call of duty, working, you know, just crazy hours most of the time just to get this newspaper out, or get these newspapers out, and to see that taken away, it's very disappointing. And, you know, in a way, I suppose it shows the shows we're on the cusp of a change in industry in terms of newspapers and media and the way people view their information. I mean, you do it yourself, you provide a fantastic service to fans for your website, and more people, especially younger people, are viewing their news digitally. And Trinity Mirror have decided that that's the way to go. That's the way they're going to go for Reading. They're going to see if it's almost using it as a bit of a guinea pig, really. They want to see if it works. And if it does, it could be the shape of things to come over the years across the country.
Well, as I said, it goes without saying, all our thoughts from Tyler saying that, I said myself personally, I'm sure I speak for everybody who bought from Reads the Paper, go out to anybody that will be losing their job, and even to those that aren't, that, you know, seeing what a part of their career sort of slip away. You said fingers crossed that it works out for various people involved. And, you know, needless to say, we'll, you know, continue with this show as long as we can, and we'll hope to work with, you know, whatever happens down the road. But for the meantime, as I said, it's a sad thing, but, you know, everything moves on, I suppose. And you know, who knows what can arise from the ashes, I suppose.
Yeah, you never know. And I just want to say thank you to everyone. I've been getting inundated with messages on Twitter ever since the news broke. And just thanks to everyone. There have been very nice messages to read. And I won't be, you know, I'm still going to be around, even if it's not me who moves forward with this new website. And I'll still be around. I still need to make money. I still live in this area. So I'm sure Reading won't be keeping me out of the press box too much. I'll try and find work and still try and cover Reading as much as I possibly can.
There will always be a seat for you on the Tyler Stand podcast. You can even join us on Mondays if you're free.
Yeah, thank you very well.
Come down and try and deal with Westy on a Monday.
At the moment, I might be free on every single Monday at the moment. So we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, like I said, I don't want to go anywhere. I love working in this club. I've worked very hard the last 15 months since I got here and sort of build up a rapport with the fans and everything like that, and I don't want to throw that all away, so I don't want to go, but we'll have to see what happens in the next few weeks.
Yeah, well, we'll watch this space. I said we'll try and update you on the podcast over the next few weeks of what's going on. But, you know, so let's end on a positive. Let's hope Reading can go to Cardiff tonight, get a win. I've predicted the 2-2, but I've got a nagging little suspicion that Reading might pull a surprise tonight. It's just the sort of thing that they'll do out of nowhere. I said when they went up to Middlesbrough, no one was expecting anything, and they got that win. So I'm just hoping they can hit Cardiff cold and get a good result.
Nothing would please me more to be completely wrong with my 3-1 prediction than Reading go up there and, you know, produce a fantastic away performance. Even GMAT coming off the bench to slam home a winner with 10 minutes to go. And, you know, nothing would please me more if that's the case. So fingers crossed. Let's wait and see.
As I said, and you can, as I said, continue to check out all of the by the papers. So Wednesday and Friday.
Yep.
Get Reading and the Reading Post. So pick up
souvenir editions.
Exactly, very much so. And hopefully we'll have a win before they close.
Yes, hopefully so.
Souvenir final win edition. But as I said, pick up the papers. Also head over to getreading.co.uk to read all the letters from Charles and the team over there. And as I said, you can visit thetirelessend.com to check out plenty more fan opinion analysis. Lots of good content going up there at the moment. We'll be back with the main edition of the show probably Monday. I need to sit down with Westy and Johnny and figure out a date. I don't know if Johnny's calmed down after the debate we had last week. We had to go sit in a cold dark room for a while to calm down after our Adkins debate. But hopefully we'll be back Monday. We'll hopefully sit down and record on Friday as well, ahead of the game with Norwich. But until then, take care. Charles, speak to you later.
Speak to you later. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
The Tirelhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetirelhurstend.com.